Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. It's Monday night, and we're looking forward to spending time here tonight with one of our favorite guys and one of your favorite guys, as we've heard from you many, many times this way. So you all know who we are pretty much. We may be missing Ron tonight, but he will be back. You all know we're people of faith. We love our nation. We love the Lord. We love our faith. We love our families. We love people. And that's why we're here. And the whole purpose of this program is to talk about things that you ask us, to raise your expectations, to help you to feel better about things, to know God is in control, but he doesn't always leave us wondering. Sometimes he says, wait, and I'll show you. And many times he says, let me give you a few hints. And that's what we hope we can do, is you've written into me many times that you got ideas here, and all of a sudden things lit up in an area that you were worried and concerned about. So we're excited to share that with you. And you pretty well know the team. Very quickly, we will share with you. Our team covers the width and the breadth of the nation. And as you know, we start on the West Coast, just north of Santa Barbara in Lompoc, California, with Dr. Paul Hall. And Paul is a retired pastor, and he's a writer, he's a scholar, he knows the Word of God, he loves people, and God loves people through him. And that's about the best thing you can say about somebody when you say that. And that's the way Paul's been in my life for over 55 years now, and counting. We're not counting, but somebody seems to be, because they always get the number to us. But anyway, it's 55 years. So, and Paul is there in Lompoc, and he's been doing a little Elvis Presley routine in the morning, a little bit of shake, rattle, and roll, right, Paul?
That's right. And SpaceX, or SpaceX launching. And I, pardon me, yes.
Launching SpaceX, huh? Yeah, wow. Yeah. They're pretty exciting to see, pretty exciting. So Paul is there in Lompoc, and if we join together and we zip across the nation all the way to the south part of the East Coast, we'll be right there in Dalton, Georgia, and we have Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer, and you know them well. They're two of our favorite people in the world. Steph's a great health and wellness coach. She's not just say great, she's the best. We tell you that every week, and I know you know it's the truth, because we don't deal with anything but facts here. So you know that about Stephanie. So right, and tell them, Tank, that's right. So in any event, she also has a great website, Live Your Life Out Loud. In other words, make your life count every day. Do things, listen, care, be usable by God to bless and take care of people. She helps ladies all over the nation who deal with her, not just on health issues, but issues that they need some real spiritual guidance on. She does an incredible job doing that each and every day. You can see her there. You go to the different platforms and you'll be able to see that, or go to her website, Live Your Life Out Loud, and you'll be able to follow her there. And I know she'll have a blessing for you, ladies. It's really, really good. And husbands, you'll be glad that your wives have looked in there, because she's got good stuff, she tells them. And that, speaking of that, look how good she did on Tank. I mean, you know, you can't do much better than that. Right, Tank? There you go. Good work. Yeah, Tank is one of the men you would love to meet. And if you never get to this side, you will see him on the other side. He is a trauma surgeon. He's an author. He's a great dad, a great husband. He's a coach. He's done just so many things, you can't believe it. But most of all, he's a man of God. And the reason he can do many things is because he is a man of God, and he follows the Lord each and every day in his life. And Tank's first book is out. It's called Saved. You can get it just about anywhere. Here it is on our website, Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary Things of Life. And that's where God does his greatest work in the ordinary things. So if you're looking for earth-moving, rainbow-shattering events, sometimes God says, psst, I'm right here. And you got to read his book to see how God's been right there for him all the way through his life. And the big things, the middle things, and the little things. And my book is there also, Legitimate Faith. That title came from Zig Ziglar. He wouldn't let me name it anything else. I preached a series on Hebrews 11, 1 to 6 or 8, I think, and put it in book form at his command. It produces authentic hope. What we need today is authentic hope. And as you look at what's going on in the world, what's going on in our nation, we need to realize there is an authentic hope that comes through faith. Faith is an action word. It's not a dead word. It's moving. Faith doesn't give you answers right off. It gives you miracles when you watch them. And things that God's doing, we're going to see happen in a great way. So if you're familiar with Zig Ziglar, this was the title he gave that book, and I hope you'll be able to get a copy of that. So tonight also right there, one of our favorite ministers in the state of Texas, you know, is Ron Greer. He's in McKinney, and he's with Man in the Mirror, and he does an outstanding job with them. You can look up and be ready to meet him next week when he gets back with us. Man in the Mirror right there, strengthening churches, equipping Christian men and communities. He's surrounding McKinney and to gauge meaningful relationships that change lives and builds the kingdom of God. And he does a great job of that. He's very shy. So if you do talk to him, try to get him out of the shell. If you can help somehow to get him to loosen up. No, Ron will make you feel like you've known him all your life, just like all these people in this room will the minute you meet him. So having said that, we are excited what God is doing in our midst right now. And he's just working everywhere. We believe that he knows exactly what's going on. I tell you, after seeing the State of the Union, the first campaign speech by President Biden, and I'm going to say straight up because it was so absolutely frustrating to me, and I'm going to share that opinion with you. I want to say right off, straight up, that God is working in everything. So if you get frustrated, remember this. You keep praying, and you keep your faith up, and you keep doing what you can do. Be involved. Do what you can do. Be involved in elections and other things. By the way, Elizabeth Ahlers won her election, as you may know, and she won the primary. She's been on the show twice, and she's an outstanding, she and her husband, Ron. She is up there, and I think she's going to be a favorite now to take the Senate seat in the state of California that needs a lot of help. She's a great, great lady, and I know she'll do an outstanding job. So your prayers and the things she shared with you, that's going to come to be. Denise, Gary Pendahl, you know, did not win the Senate seat. There were 30-something people that ran for that. But I called to just say a prayer with her, and I've never heard anybody so fired up in my whole life because she said, you know, now I know exactly what God wants me to do on this. My season, it's my first time running. My season now is to start a campaign with everybody I know through the state. They're already calling me. Vote and become a Christian voter. Why are you voting? What are you believing? And get out the vote for everybody to make sure that we put people who love God and love this country in places where they can love people back where they need to be. And we can be the family we must be as believers in America. So anyway, that's my two bits, which is worth a lot more if you really look close between the lines. So I'm going to share that with you tonight. So now let's get to tonight because we are excited. We've got somebody, I think probably I quit counting at about 12 or 13 of you that have texted me. I keep running counts on text people you like to get back. Some of them are coming back in the next month. And I'll tell you about one at the close. But our good friend, Frank, that I called on a lark one day, and I never had more fun talking to anybody on a first call than the time I called Frank about a year ago, September or something. Frank is Roberson. Is a man who is a get-it-done man. He gets out there and he takes care of business. He is someone who is very, very special in understanding what's going on today. He founded the Black Rhino Protection Agency, which is so much more than that. I won't begin to go into it, but he can share insights and wisdom on how we can be awake to the possible dangers that we face in America at this time. Many of you have said to me a couple of times, well, what do you think that Mr. Roberson thinks of this? Well, we'll ask him tonight. He could tell us what that is. You know, as a specialist, having protected congressmen, key leadership, and families, he's uniquely trained to give us important insights because he knows things that we could only guess at. And I guess what I really want to say, I'm so glad he's here tonight. I told him earlier, with the disastrous results of our border policy, with the drug infestation, with the human trafficking, with the illegal sanctuary cities and everything that's changing, including the murder of an innocent girl we just saw. It's time to wake up and be aware that we don't live in a world that we did just 10 or 20 years ago. We live in a dangerous place, and what is the necessity going to require of us to protect our families and to take care of those that we love? Are there insights that we need to know? So we want to welcome Frank in tonight again. He's the founder and leader of Black Rhino. And so Frank's coming to us tonight live and direct from Texas again. Whoa, I have to remember what city. It's Irving. Is it Irving? Very close. It's close there.
Mansfield, just outside of Arlington.
Oh, just outside Arlington. I was a little bit off, not too far, but that's a good one. So we want to give the infamous round of applause. Thank you, Stephanie. Oh, yeah. And we want to bring you on with a round of applause. You don't get that anywhere in the whole world but here, Frank. That's because we're
here.
But anyway, it works well. Welcome. Welcome. How have you been doing? And do we have a few questions? But you talk to us first. It's always great to hear from you.
Oh, it's been great. Very, very busy. As you know, you guys probably met Stephanie. She's our second full-time protection agent on the team working for the family we have here in Dallas that we protect full-time. We've ballooned up to now 6 agents total, 4 surveillance on the surveillance team and 2 full-time with the family. And then we pull from the surveillance team when I need a break or Stephanie needs a break. So it's been very busy lately. Then we, of course, we got the 4 dogs we got to keep track of, and then of course Christy's doing well. She's about to leave for marathon this week, and trying to get I think state number 36. If I said that wrong, she'll pop her head in here and tell me. I think it's state number 36 on our way to 50.
Well, Frank, right at that point, we had a picture of you, TJ. If you're there, first of all, if you could show the first picture. This is Frank. This is the one that many of you know. If you're there, TJ, we can take a picture. Because, yeah, this is a good one. Yeah, it's a good one. We got two. Yeah, this is Frank, the first time we met him. And there he is. Now, if that's not going to tell you you're okay, there's no picture that can. You're okay. I got this as the title. And the next picture is Black Rhino and that we sent you. And that's his logo. He's an artist too. We'll talk about that later. And there he is right there. And the caption of that picture, as you said, what? So it's really good. So then moving right along, the last picture, perhaps the best. And this is Frank and his boss.
My boss. Don't say that too loud. She can probably hear you.
This is Frank and Christy. So we wanted to share the boss tonight. And we thought that would be a great thing. So she's the one that he's talking about now to go in these states. Frank just wanted to share that. Go right ahead, sir.
Oh, she just texted me. Even they know that I'm the boss. She just texted me.
Female representation in here. Thank
there
you.
There we go. Yeah.
She's going for, I think, and like I said, she'll come out here and correct me. I think she's on her 36th or 37th state, wow, trying to get to 50. And then she'll do the majors. I believe there's 5 or 6 majors in the marathon world. I'm good at maybe running a lawnmower. I can't run 26 miles. So I let her do all that. I'm really proud of her. She's been fighting through some pain and some back issues and that kind of thing. So I'm really proud of her for even, you know, getting out there and doing it. And everything's good right now.
Amen. Amen.
It's very impressive. Marathons are not for the faint of heart. I trained for a half marathon. And I was like, I will never, ever do this again. That is beyond my max. But anybody that does it, I cheer them on.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
I heard a wonderful thing, or I read it today. It says, I want to get in shape, so I joined a gym. But nothing was changing. But tomorrow I'm going to go down there and find out what's going on.
That's
yeah.
Nice.
You have to go, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, back in the dark ages, Paul, we had talked about it. I used to be a miler in high school, and I couldn't walk a mile. Probably I do walk a mile sometimes now. In fact, it is the normal route. But like you said, Frank, the people that run like that, Steph, wow, must build up the lung capacity. So that's amazing. Long time ago, 66.
I get tired of watching her run.
Exactly.
You can be her moral support, though.
Yes. That,
that's right.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Frank, we had some people that have called in, and they said in light of they've been watching the news and other things, and, you know, there's so much, they're saying there's so much clatter on the FBI computers across the nation, so much clatter for things coming back and forth. Maybe you could give us some insight better on how that works and what that means kind of exactly without, you know, not getting into anything that would be of danger to what you're doing. But what would you say is going on in light of the all the illegal people coming across the border and what we're finding out about many of them now? They can't find them. They did capture one that was those gutaways, and they got him. And sure enough, what he was up to was very nefarious up in the north.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Governor Abbott isn't getting enough credit for bringing this to the rest of the country, because I think New Yorkers, people in Chicago and those other states were just like, oh, Texas can't handle, you know, stuff going on their border down there. And now that they're seeing the problems actually brought to their town, they know, kind of understand why our little towns on the border are having such big issues. And they wouldn't throw in that, you know, I serve two congressmen in the House of Representatives. I've been in meetings at the Capitol in D.C. where both parties are saying that our country is not a country without borders. Now, what they say publicly during campaign season is different. You know, there's a video surfacing that's going around where Bill Clinton said in the State of the Union that came out right before Biden's, that said we're a nation of laws and you can't come in here illegally. Yeah, here we are with this going on. So my answer is not really political, because both parties have kind of said the same thing. But campaign season seems to change their views based on the biggest voting bloc or who they think is going to get them elected this cycle. So there are laws on the books that can prevent everything that's going on right now, just about in the immigration system. And I did read an article the other day where there are people that have been waiting in line, doing it the proper way, that have been waiting for years to get the opportunity to go to a federal courthouse and raise their right hand and be naturalized. Yes. We used to do that every Friday in the senator's office upstairs when I was working for Congress. And I don't know how, with this many people here, it's gonna what the answer is on stopping the flow and what we do with everybody that's here. But I know that violent crime is up, and, you know, of course the media is not helping. I mean, well, they are kind of, they're putting the spotlight on it. You know, Lake and Riley, those kinds of things. I mean, I heard a congressman ask the other day, how many bills do we have to pass with a victim's name on it from violence from an illegal immigrant that we have to pass in Congress before somebody does something? So from my standpoint, the family I protect, they're in North Dallas, and we go to downtown Dallas quite a bit, and there's clearly a difference. There were several busloads dropped off at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center downtown Dallas, and where they go from there, they spread out. And we have six people on our team for a reason. I mean, is it necessary every day? Probably not. But when the grocery store that the boss's wife goes to has four people in a 3-month period of time last year followed home from the grocery store and then assaulted in their driveway and robbed or even killed for their groceries and their money, I mean, it starts to get out of hand. And this is, we're talking about Highland Park, University Park areas in Dallas, which is where, you know, Mark Cuban lives, the Bushes live, all that kind of stuff.
Very nice.
Yeah. And, you know, you go two blocks over and you've got, you know, crime is bad. You don't want to, we leave the house sometimes to go to appointments in certain areas of town where before they had us, they would not go to those appointments. They would find an appointment closest to them, even though the doctor they know is better further away. So it's affecting, in my line of work, it's affecting the way the people we protect decide what they're going to do and where they're going to go do it. They don't go downtown as much anymore. They have property downtown that they could go stay in. as much as they want. But if you go outside that building, you get people shot. There was somebody shot there 2 days ago, right out street from where their property is downtown. You go to a Mavs game or a Stars game, you know, best of luck after the game is over trying to go walk any distance to your car. It's gotten that bad. It's not all illegal immigration. It's also the policies where they're not prosecuting or they're letting them go right after they get booked. So those people who just robbed you today may rob you again on Wednesday because it just got out and now they know you have no money and they're going to come back and get you again. So it's a complicated issue, and it kind of the crime from illegal immigration and a crime that is already out there because of the policies where they're not. I think they said they're not going to prosecute for anything under $500. I mean, if you do that, I mean, what store can you go into every day in Dallas where you can steal $500 and up to $500 and get away with it? Then you add the illegal immigration side of it where they're driving without a license with no insurance and they hit somebody and hurt and kill them or whatever. It is a problem, but it's just being situationally aware. Everything comes back to that. And it's important that you stay vigilant. You stay aware. I've said this on the program before. The key thing that I train my agents, and I've been trained, and I was trained by some pretty good agencies in the past, that there are three indicators on every event that happens. And my job as a protector is to find one of those three, or if not all three of those indicators, to avoid what we call staying left of bang. Mm-hmm. And what the bang is the incident that happens. Somebody coming up and carjacking at the red light. That person has to do at least three things before he gets to your car that you can see to say, wait a minute, this is trouble. Got to lock my door. Got to pull my gun. If I have a gun in my car, it's Texas. So odds are that most people have a firearm in their car. Or you just run the red light if it's safe to do that, just to get away. But if you're just sitting there looking at your phone, texting at a red light, you're sitting duck. I mean, if someone is targeting you, you have response times that are against you if you're not paying attention, because the perpetrator already has a second and a half on you when he decides to start whatever act he's going to do against you. You will typically have almost a 2 second response time to acknowledge that. So the time that it takes him to get to you, if he's in the 21 foot range, you can't even pull a gun fast enough or push the gas pedal fast enough before that guy gets to your car or to your person when they decide to do something. So you have to have knowledge of those indicators that are happening beforehand. Somebody standing in the center median of a turn lane in a fancy neighborhood, but it's not panhandling. That's a sign. Does it mean anything by itself? No. But then if he's going like this to somebody on the other side of the street, that's the second sign. And then you look over to the third person walking towards your car. There's three signs, and this dude's walking through towards your car. That means somebody's coming to get your car. Somebody's coming at your car, or your vehicle, and that you need to make those allows you to make a faster decision. If you know this guy is looking at you, looking over there, pointing at your car to somebody else, and somebody's walking towards you, all that time that takes to happen, you have the ability to make a decision much faster and put you in the driver's seat on that, literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, what's the estimate? It's at least 7 million, I think,
mm-hmm.
at best, and then probably closer to over 10 million that have been. And I know some friends of mine have seen kind of Northern California, very close to the Oregon border, a lot of Asian Chinese with almost like armored vehicles. Like there's mm-hmm. something going on up there, but no one's willing to go check it out because it looks too dangerous. But
we've been shopping for armored vehicles. And I've tried to talk them out of it because we don't really need it. And if we have to have one to go into an area you want to go to, we shouldn't be in that area anyway. That's kind of my response.
Right.
But we've actually priced them and looked at them. And we looked at getting a vehicle to send away to the vendor that puts them together. That is a new thing for the folks that are in the income bracket that we operate in. And that, you know, I was watching a training video yesterday. You're not protected, unlike the movies. If you open the door to block bullets, those bullets go right through the car. I mean, the training video I watched, they're shooting a target through two different doors all the way through the car and still hitting the target. So, I mean, what are you doing? You don't have an armored car. I mean, every day you're going out on the freeway. That we were just voted the worst drivers in the country, or top five, something like that, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I mean, it's hard to believe.
You don't want to win that.
On the 405 down in LA somewhere. I mean, but it's a crapshoot, so to speak. I mean, you get between some road rage and stuff. I mean, that's why people have been shot driving down the freeway around here. But there's the movies are not reality when it comes to that either. So you got to be vigilant. It still goes back to being vigilant. And I've slowed down and changed lanes, three lanes over, because I see two cars doing this thing, because I don't want to be anywhere near that with the boss in the back. And I have them sit in the primary seat, which is back right, because the first person typically that shot is the driver. And so I keep them in that other seat. And that's why I'm having Stephanie drive more. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. She's the rookie, right? She's no, I'm kidding. driving with all that on the road with illegal immigrants with no driver's license, no insurance. They don't care. They may have just stolen a car, whatever they're doing, but you can't. I mean, you have to be. If you're not situationally aware, you're sticking, I'm going to hammer that away like a dead horse. But if you're situationally aware, you can dodge most of those issues and see them coming.
Mm. Even if you have to get out of the way, huh? Like somebody's floored it to get away from somebody, you can get out of the way and follow them.
Yeah, I move way over. You can't have an ego in this line of work when you're in the car, because your natural instinct is to try to block them, you know, try to be cool. And, you know, I'm a protection guy. I'm going to block you out. Make sure you got two lines of wealth, generational old money in your back seat. You got to get out of the way. You got to move over there, get out of the way and let them go by and let the boss go, wow, look at those guys. Oh boy, you saw that coming already? We didn't even see that coming, you know? So you got to, it's one of those things you just got to pay attention. They're everywhere.
I think in a couple of things that I read recently, the recent report on 300,000 being flown over by our government from Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not, if you want to profile, you can't just profile Hispanic folks. You've got, and then I watched this Tucker Carlson interview with a biologist, PhD biologist, who went down to, you know, the Darmanian Gap or something. It's between mm-hmm. South and Central America. And there's a camp down there there's two of them. There's one that's sponsored by non-governmental organizations or NGOs. They're mm-hmm. very friendly. They're usually families. And then it's just a whole business. And then the other one is all Chinese, and they don't want you anywhere. Yeah. And they're all 17 to 24-ish males, and they're better funded, so they come up by boat and motorcycles and stuff to get to the border, and they're in. So,
yeah,
it's scary.
But even then, you got the groups of Turkish military-age men coming in. They're all wearing the same sneakers. They're all wearing the same jeans. I mean, come on. I mean, they're missing the signs. I don't know where they're getting them all set up down there in south of the border. But, I mean, the border people that I've seen interviews from, they're overwhelmed. And there are people that see that, but they can't do anything about it because there's so many of them. But, you know, you're just thinking, they keep wanting you to believe that these are random people fleeing their situations and looking for asylum. And they're all claiming asylum, but how many, I mean, what's the coincidence that 37 military age guys are all going to be wearing the same sneakers, trying to hit you at three different spots down in Southern, South Texas or Eagle Pass in El Paso or even Arizona. That's why I think Governor Abbott, I mean, the administration tried to take credit for the dramatic drop in crossings in Texas, but it's because of Abbott going up against the administration and putting the razor wire up, those buoy things. I don't know if they're still out there, but he's basically shut our border down. Now they're going to Arizona and San Diego, from what I understand. Right. And, you know, you got to, I mean, if you can't pay attention to the simplest things because you're just overwhelmed, you're putting everybody else in danger, because those 37 guys that have the same sneakers, the same sweatshirts and the same little ribbons on their hands and all this other stuff, they're going to meet somewhere because they all came from the same place and God only knows what they're going to do. But you just hope that somebody, our great law enforcement agencies are able to track them down and keep an eye on those kinds of folks. But it just gets overwhelming with all that. You can't just, I mean, there's a guy from in my neighborhood, well, near here, moved here from California, and we were walking the dog the other day, and we noticed how fast he put up his huge fence around his house from California. And I'm like, okay, well, you come from California. You probably don't like the wall. You're probably against having the border closed. But the first thing you did was build a house down the street from us and put this huge fence around it.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, a lot of it just doesn't make sense. But I don't know how you control it when you already have laws in the books and you won't follow them. I mean, how do you get them to do that?
Yeah, I'll ask you a question first. So I've had someone that's in law enforcement recommend to me that if you witness something, the thing to try and remember the most, which is pretty simple to do, is their shoes. Because they don't change those when they change their disguise. Yeah. So the shoes are easy to remember, hopefully maybe even the size. And then other features, obviously, because, you know, that I've seen the stats on witnesses, you know, and how accurate they can be and can't be. So, but shoes are pretty interesting. But, I mean, the other thing you commented on was, I guess it was a question. Do you agree with that, or is there something else you'd recommend? Or
no, I mean, and the thing that I've noticed from people in the groups, the intelligence community groups that I'm a part of, they're all mentioning how new those shoes are. So somebody's giving them those shoes, and the odds of them keeping them on for a while, you know, they're going to have to get old, tattered, and everything before they go into a Macy's and you know, steal some. But you know, all these shoes are relatively new, and they're going to keep them for a while. So you have enough time to identify them if they're Adidas or whatever brand they are. They had a guy on the news the other day that had a Biden-Harris shirt. Said he wore it so that they'd let him in, and he was bragging about it, showing off his shirt.
Yeah.
We were told that they were going to let us in, so I wore the shirt so they knew that I was the guy to let in. You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I have one question. If anybody else have a question on that specific line right there, I mentioned this to you a little bit today, Frank. That when I had a big senior adult ministry, quite a few, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 of them, they got so upset then. I can only imagine how upset they are now in light of all that you've shared. How could they, the question was brought up to a leader in this field, a police officer, captain, chief, actually. What can we do to protect? Now, these were seniors, but I especially think of mothers, their children and their younger families and things like this, who are middle America. How can they protect themselves from night invasion or break-ins or this kind of thing? I mean, they're just breaking into stores, taking what they want, and they have the same idea just going into a house. And they told us specifically some things that they would do, but have you ever been confronted with a question like that? Like, what do we do, Frank, to protect my wife and my kids in the home at night, you know, when we're in bed? Or if they're seniors, like moms and dads, grandma, grandpa, how do I protect my home?
Well,
yeah.
I'm gonna say that people that do what I do it a little bit differently. And the reason what I say is on a very basic level, law enforcement and military are reactive. Mm-hmm. What we do and what we're trained to do, what Secret Service is trained to do, the Governor Protection Detail guys for CHP, where I was trained, those guys were all proactive. Yes. So the measures that we put into place aren't reactive. You kind of shared that story with me on the phone earlier tonight, where I think one of the comments was to shoot the front door. They're not going to, you're going to scare them away and do that. That's a reactive, proposition. So I'll give you an example. Our house, we have cameras on several different corners. We have the motion detectors that go off on that particular thing. We keep, we put spotlights in the backyard. We have certain things to be proactive. So when we go up to the media room, we close the door, we set the alarm. I have a handgun in the media room with us, because otherwise it's getting down to the closet if somebody comes in the house. But we get these proactive alerts on our phones. They have to go through three zones to get to our front door. So my phone, my wife's phone, they vibrate or ding. And the dogs have learned to ding, by the way. Yeah. When it goes off, Lily runs to the front door barking, the first one. So when the first one happens, you know, we'll take a look, right? It's usually someone breaking the barrier right in front by the sidewalk. The second one, they're in the driveway or the grass. The third one, they're up by the front door. So we have three different levels. Remember, I keep talking about threes,
yes.
Right? Three yes. Indicators, three pre-event indicators. Same thing here. I got three different spots, and it's set up purposely for that, one, two, and three. So if it goes off one, two, and then three, we got a package coming, or someone's at our front door delivering food, or if it's in the middle of the night, we got somebody at the door that's not supposed to be there. And it does distinguish animals from people. It recognizes an unknown face. So when our alert goes off, it'll say unknown face. If it was Christy, it says wifey's at the front door. If it's me, Frank's at the front door. We're in the driveway. It's facial recognition in the driveway, too, that we have to fill in when that person is recognized on there. So that's proactive, right? Yeah. Law enforcement kind of teaches it a little bit different. Have a loaded gun, have it ready to go. Don't be afraid to shoot the door. You know, don't be afraid to shoot when someone comes in the house. You got to know somebody's coming first to be able to react properly, because, right. This is kind of a little off the top, but when people go to the firing range to go practice, what do? They stand there in a stall, they aim, they do this stuff, they look at a target and they do that. When someone comes busting through your door, the way we're training, we're training in a contained area where there's old vehicles and long targets and all that. We're just going without. We're not aiming. We're going down there. We're shooting like active shooter stuff. So the person that thinks he's doing himself some good going down to the range and shooting from 7 yards, putting this little nice little thing in there on his target, when someone's coming through your door, I guarantee you those shots are all over the place, because you're not used to just going like this.
Yeah.
It's, I forgot the name of the stance when I was trained, and we used to do shoot, no shoot. California used to require us to do a certain number of hours of shoot, no shoot videos before we got requalified every 2 years. And we had to do the shoot, no shoot videos twice a year. So total of four for the 2 years you had your license. So we'd get in there, a room of 15, 20 guys, and you know, these are live law enforcement type shoot, no shoot scenarios. And these guys, it's amazing how a guy can have a little thing like that and win his local Rotary Club, you know, gun challenge thing and win a pistol. But when you're out there and you put out on a range, and you're supposed to go through this thing and shoot the bad guys and save the good guys, man, the bullets are all over the place. So there's going to be a bullet in the bottom of your door. There's going to be one in a wall. Odds that they're going to be in this area here are slim to none, unless you're practicing without aiming and just shooting and looking at the target. It's like playing golf. You know, you mess with muscle memory. You learn how to, you know, swing a golf club with your eyes closed. You got to be able to aim that gun without sitting there going, all right, let's go right there, boom, right?
I think that's why the chief said he wanted everybody to have a shotgun.
Yeah.
Said, aim in that direction, it's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to share something we have, too. We have a long driveway, and we actually have a dinger that basically anytime anybody comes up our driveway, and our dog is super responsive to it. We don't have it up loud, but she knows exactly what it is. So we kind of have the same system you're talking about, Frank, because we have driveway, and then we have all the lights and then cameras and everything around. And so we would know long before someone actually gets to our house.
And we thought about putting a speaker system in the back that just says, "Don't move. The area has now been armed landmine area." That's and the point is, there's just the action sound of a shotgun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like right there.
That's his plan.
Or barking Dobermans. That's all.
Well, I tell you one. I don't want to say extreme because it's for the dogs, but one other thing that we do is when there are home invasions, a lot of pets get shot or killed. So we actually have the dog gate at the bedroom because the dogs sleep in the bedroom every night, so that when someone does come into the house, if they do, not only are we prepared with firearms in the bathroom and in my closet and my nightstand, you know, everywhere, the puppies are going to be safe because they're automatically going to run out there barking and think they're real tough and everything. So we put the baby gates up so the dogs just can't run out. They can bark up the storm, maybe scare them, whatever. But Christy doesn't want any of our puppies.
Yeah, man, that's right.
Or hurt or in any way. Yeah. Or even if they bust down the door, we don't want them running out going, "I'm out of here." I'm saving myself.
I don't know if we have enough time for this, but I was going to ask, you know, the Lake and Riley thing is not that far from us. And I heard commentary that somebody thought it was weird that she had told the roommate she was going for a run. And so we actually had a conversation about that last week. And I said, that's not weird at all. Like my whole life, I've done that as a female. I'm going here, I'm going there. And so I was curious if you had tips, because I do weird things like, you know, I have keys between my knuckles faced out, and I usually take my dog with me who looks pretty scary, and I have a lot of awareness of where I am. And so I wasn't sure if you had any tips for us ladies out and about.
Well, that is a great question, because Christy likes to run in the evenings and she'll tell me that she runs. So she uses a Garmin on her watch that sends me an email, but we go one step further. We use an app called Glimpse. And the reason we use Glimpse is because when we're both doing it, you can set it to like 4 or 5 hours, something like that. And a marathon runner, you know, 26.2 miles is almost, for her, is like 4.5 on a good week.
Oh, that's bad.
Here, speaking of the guard dog.
You're fast, Christy.
She's right here. So,
that one of your precious babies, look at that.
This is Lily. This is the one that knows the ding of the first bell that someone's breached the cameras up front. So she's a meanie, too. She'll go get you. So Christy lets me know. Now, the beauty about Glimpse is when we log into Glimpse, it shows where I'm at and it shows where she's at, where Garmin only shows where she's at. So my dot gets closer to her as we're going. So I practice. She goes in and runs a lake called White Rock Lake. Yes. It's hard to say real fast. I say wait, but White Rock Lake here in Dallas. And the purpose of that is I practice with that app, finding her just watching the app and going through the neighborhoods and side roads, because it shows the whole thing. So if she deviates from that, it shows me where she goes, where, and I might be able to cut her off here, you know, that kind of thing.
Except when I went over the dam, I kind of
so that app really helps us. But she will tell me that she's going to go run, and you want to let somebody know that you're going to go run. If you're by yourself, I also buy her a pepper spray, preferably pink, that she carries. It has a little thing that goes over her
hand. Yeah, that's what I wear, too.
Like yeah.
Glove on.
So it matches her nails. So,
that's good. Important, okay.
but then when she's doing her long runs, especially during the wintertime, when it gets to near dark, I will go follow her. I'll go follow her like it's like she's – I have night vision goggles I play with. I do all kinds. I'll go sit somewhere. I've had Mansfield PD roll up behind me one time to find out what I was doing. And she goes, "Oh, it's my husband. He's just following me while I'm running, you know, because I'm running, right?"
You are literally stalking your wife.
That's right. There you go.
So I'll park at the end. I had a dark Suburban until recently. So I'd Tahoe. So I'd park it at the front end of this park with the running lights on, and use my night vision to follow, you know, practice my night vision stuff, right? and she's and she I bought her a little blinky light. She's telling me, don't forget my blinky light. And so I bought her this little blinky light she wears. So I can see that in the night vision. It blinks in the night vision. So I do a little extra proactive stuff to make sure she's safe, but not everybody can do that.
And then be smart when you're running.
And then Chris is saying, be smart when you're running. There's some areas that she runs that I worry about her, and I will watch particularly in those specific areas.
Watch who you're running
past. And, you know, you keep track of who is running behind you, running in front of you, if you pass them, or running, that kind of thing. So
I've texted you if the same car passes.
She has actually texted me if the same car's passed her more than a couple of times. And I hop in the car with Lily and the guard dog, and we go – and we go and catch up to her real quick and make sure she's okay. She's had a car that actually stopped at the beginning of our community to watch her run, to go up, turn back around, and come back down. And she texted me, and we were,
went the other way.
She went the other way, but Lily and I hopped in the car to go, pull an evac.
I do like having my dog with me, although she will cut me off if I'm running sometimes, so it's a little bit of a hazard, but people give me much more margin when I have a dog with me, and she's pretty big, so.
Yeah, and Christy Christy will take some people down, too, if they get too close.
Perfect.
She helped, when I have a new self-defense move or hand-to-hand or knife skill or gun skill I want to try out on her, she typically will just punch me in the stomach and say, well, that didn't work. she can take care of herself, too. And I just got her this thing in here. She just happens to be handing it to me. I just got her this little thing. It's a little pink thing. But when you do that, it just looks like a little pen. Make you sure carry with her. And it's a taser. I have one for myself, but it's just
it can go in her, advertisement.
It can go in.
I'm like, careful how you put that in your butt.
It's called the pain pen.
Pain pen.
Pain pen. So it isn't meant to, damage anybody or anything, but it's just enough to get their attention, to get them away from me, really. So I got her one of these. I got a black one I was testing for myself. But I try to get her as many tools in her little running vest as she can carry. to make sure she's safe.
This looks fun, this pain pen.
Now you got me scared.
The pain pen. Here's the killer right here.
Let's
see if it works.
Well, I tell you what, that's fantastic. That really, I think that helps people. For guys, I think we should go out and get those pins for everybody. That's important. Huh? Get a good one, huh, Paul? You and I used to jog. Nobody ever bothered us, Paul, back in college.
Being ugly helps, too, so.
Yeah, that took care of it.
if I can say one last, I can't emphasize this enough, that in the world that I'm in from day one, I've been doing this now, this will be my 23rd year in August. And the number one thing I've worked armed, unarmed, in the biggest venues, the biggest sporting events, and the key to being safe, no matter what, is your ability to see any pre-event indicators.
Yes.
I can't emphasize that enough. Reaction is one thing, but being able to, and some people will say, oh, you're paranoid. You just saw the same person. We were walking the dogs. We saw the same Chevy Equinox. The last four was 63E9. Of their license plate that I could run and find out who it is. But three times walking our dogs in three different spots in the neighborhood, we saw the same car going slowly through the neighborhood. That's a red flag. It may not be anything, but if you're not noticing it and it is a bad thing, you're messed up, and that's going to cause problems. So
pre-event indicators, right, Frank?
Yes.
Pre-event indicators.
Yes. Yeah. It's the left of bang theory. It's called the Marine Corps Combat Hunters Program, but they have a civilian training for that I started in 2010, and I actually just got certified to teach it recently. So I'm teaching it to all my team members, all six of my agents. Right. And the basic thing, General James Mattis created it, and the person who teaches it now and certifies is one of the trainers that did it back in 2010 when they started teaching our Marines overseas how to use those indicators before they left a bang. You don't want to be right a bang. A bang is when the thing that happens, the indicator, you want to be left of that. You want to figure out what leads up to that.
Well, Frank, that's really insightful. I took some notes myself, and I know Paul got some great notes for us, and we're going to share some of those with your permission, give you the credit for that with some of the people that call in. Really want them to see that because they really enjoy your help on that. And Stephanie, if you could, we're running a little late on this, but we really do need a good shot. We get some help. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll go quick. We're so grateful for you guys coming to hang out with us each week. You can find out everything there is to find out at bbsradio.com/raisingexpectations. And you'll see right there at the top, we have different options for how you can donate on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, it has how you can listen through the station directly. And then you can scroll down and there's some more details from Pastor Joe on giving for those of you that like to use snail mail. And then you can find out about past shows, listen to the recordings, and then you can also learn about all of the co-hosts. There's details about each one of us. And then I think there's also highlights of Craig's book and Pastor Joe's book. So if you're looking for information, you can find it there.
That's it. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a wonderful lady watching us every week. I won't use her name without her permission, but she said she had a little trouble and she did what you said. Steph followed the five steps and got the last one. Bingo. She was able to give a little something to help us. We really appreciate that mission gift very, very, very much. So, Frank, you're always, always in our prayers. And Steph, too. We'll look forward to seeing Steph pretty soon. And Christy, that's awesome. You'll be in our prayers for running. Really, really exciting.
She'll appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, we got to keep up with that. Yeah, keep us posted on that. I'll check back with you, Frank. And on behalf of everybody, we love and appreciate you guys. Be safe always. I know you are because you're into pre-event indicators. I got it. Yeah. So you want to be careful on that one. I wrote it down, make sure I had it right. So in the meantime, next week we will have with us, you remember, the Golden State Republican women, not the Golden Girls. I made a mistake, but she will be here with us again. And there she is, the Golden State women. There's 10,000 of them or something. And they'll all be talking about the election and trying to do the things to turn around some of the problems we've talked about. Frank, thanks for your insight, too, from the governor of Texas and things that are going on. We appreciate you. You say a lot of things to a lot of people, but you may not hear sometimes. People appreciate what you say. And I know I'm going to get cards and letters. Actually, not cards and letters. Texts and emails. Dated myself. How'd I do, Tank? But anyway, and they appreciate it very much. So you're becoming a legend in your own time. So we'll get you back with us again. You're part of this family. And we'll go from there. So God bless and keep you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to run. We had such a good evening. We kind of ran out of time. But we'll see you next week, same time, and we pray that God blesses you all through the week, and our prayers, he meets you at the deepest points of your needs, lifts you up and says, how about that one? You can follow him, and he believed he'll do it every time. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.